Hidden in the dark ocean depths, thousands of feet below the surface, deep-sea corals have largely been a mystery. Now, however, scientists are unlocking the secrets contained in these corals' DNA and their skeletons. They're working like forensic pathologists and archaeologists to unveil the epic histories recorded there. At this year's annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS, deep-sea coral scientists gathered to discuss their latest findings about these mysterious animals. One of the new pieces of research shows that a major group of corals evolved in the deep sea and not in shallow waters as previously assumed.
My name is Alberto Lindner, and I work as a postdoctoral fellow at University of São Paulo Marine Center in southeastern Brazil. I've been working on the evolution of deep water corals and shallow water corals since 2000, and that's a work that I started as a PhD student at Duke University in the United States, and that I continue back in Brazil, my home country. My research on deep water corals reveals some of the first robust evidence that a major group of corals, known as lace corals, has evolved from the deep sea into shallow waters. More specifically, what we do show in our study, that's myself, Dr. Steve Cairns at the Smithsonian Institution, and Dr. Cliff Cunningham at Duke University, is that deep water corals diversified extensively in the deep sea and invaded shallow waters multiple times during their evolutionary history. And the reason why this is important is because it shows, once and for all, that the deep sea is definitely a source of diversity.
Dr. Lindner and his colleagues reached their conclusions by studying the genes of these corals. They essentially mapped out a family tree and then compared it to the fossil and current records of these animals' depth distributions.
We are able to reach our conclusions on the basis of a worldwide-scale phylogeny of lace corals. We collected 100 species, obtained multiple DNA sequences from nuclear and mitochondrial genes, and we are happy to report that our conclusions are largely consistent with what we find in the fossil record. And that gives us a lot of confidence on the results that we've obtained, that is, that this group of coral has, in fact, originated in the deep sea, diversified in the deep sea, and subsequently invaded the shallow waters.
The old image of the bottom of the ocean as being this vast, empty wasteland has been largely overthrown. But these corals continue to surprise researchers in a number of ways. One of the new pieces of research discussed at AAAS are new findings about the long lives of these animals. Dr. Brendan Rourke is finishing a postdoctoral position at Stanford University and is joining Texas A&M as an assistant professor.
I'm Brendan Rourke. One of the projects that I've been working on has been the development of paleoceanographic proxies in deep-sea corals.
Corals grow by depositing layers of material onto their skeletons, very much like tree rings. Because these corals incorporate chemicals from the sea around them, they record the ocean conditions as they grow. Dr. Rourke uses radiocarbon dating and isotope analysis to study these coral skeletons and reconstruct the past.
One of the interesting aspects of using deep sea corals for paleoclimate reconstruction is the fact that they fill a gap in between high resolution, shorter records and the much longer, coarser resolution ocean sediment cores that resolve timescales of thousands of years. With ongoing efforts, we are developing means reconstructing such things as temperature changes, as well as changes in ocean circulation or ocean ventilation. Those kinds of studies are important to better understanding of the global carbon cycle.
Dr. Rourke's work shows that deep sea corals are incredibly valuable climate archives, and they hold important data that we need to help us understand the past and also predict the future. However, deep-sea corals are threatened by a number of impacts, including destructive fishing practices such as bottom trawling and direct harvest for use in the jewelry trade.
One of the things that we found that's quite interesting is that a couple of species of deep-sea corals have unappreciated long lifespans. For example, a gold coral can live in excess of 2,000 years. Likewise, the deep-water black coral, Leopathis glabrina, has lifespans in excess of 4,000 years. And these are for medium-sized samples. The management issue is that a couple of these species are precious corals, So they are harvested for making jewelry. And in a lot of cases, the management plans are using growth rates that are substantially overestimated.
Dr. Rourke suggests that one of the implications of his work is that it's unwise to consider deep sea corals to be a sustainable resource. Instead, he says that their very long lifespans makes the process of harvesting them much more akin to that of mining. Some might argue that not all species of deep sea corals are likely to have as long lives and slow growth rates as those that Dr. Rourke studies. Certainly, more research is needed. Unfortunately, studies in these deep sea habitats tend to be very expensive and logistically difficult. This leads to the tendency for studies to be very difficult to compare and also to be quite limited in their geographic scope. Fortunately, that is about to change.
My name is Murray Roberts. I'm a marine biologist from the Scottish Association for Marine Science in Britain. Here at the AAAS Symposium in Boston, we are announcing a new initiative to study the cold water coral ecosystems of the Atlantic, and we call this the Transatlantic Coral Ecosystem Study, or TRACES. TRACES is an international project. We currently have over 100 scientists from 13 nations involved, Canada, the United States, and several countries in the European Union. This is the first time international scientists have got together to study cold water coral ecosystems at the scale of an ocean basin. That's important because it gives us information on how the individual coral reefs and mounds are connected one to the other. Through TRACES, we want to work out where the sources of genetic diversity are in Atlantic coral populations, so those that manage offshore resources can put protected areas in the right places and ensure the conservation of these fragile, diverse communities for future generations. The reason that this is happening now is severalfold. What's most important is that over the last 10 years, we've begun to unlock the secrets of these diverse deep sea coral ecosystems. We've begun to appreciate their structure, how long they live, how many species they support, and their value as paleoceanographic archives. Now, we really need that archive of past climate right now as we enter an era of climate change in the future. The key to predicting the future is to really understand the past.
The TRACES project is founded upon the principle that we must be able to cross national boundary lines in order to be able to understand deep sea coral ecosystems. Of course, it's not only national boundaries around developed countries that are of concern. Understanding the Northern Atlantic is only the first step, as Dr. Lindner points out.
In the international spirit of this AAAS meeting, I also want to point out that, in fact, most of coral diversity may actually be found off the coast of developing countries. Now, ironically, it is in the developing countries that we know least about the ecology of deep water corals, so we really need to start to understand a little more detail the ecology evolution and species associations of deep water coral habitats in developing countries such as Brazil and other regions of the world.
Dr. Roberts is in full agreement.
We hope that TRACES can serve as some kind of model for future studies. And there's obviously a really important need to transfer expertise, to transfer expensive resources in terms of ships and submersible infrastructure around the world, and to work in truly collaborative international projects so that we can study these ecosystems worldwide. Right now, we have the chance to work internationally to answer some of these important questions in the 21st century.
Dr. Roberts says that since he and his collaborators began the TRACES project, they've been amazed at the response from their peers in the scientific community. Everyone, he says, agrees that we owe it to future generations to make sure that these unique ecosystems are protected by conservation plans which are based on sound science. For CWEB, I'm Liz Neely. For more information about deep sea corals and our efforts to protect them, please visit www.tooprecioustoware.org.